Well, as Neil has just said, my name is Derek Thomas. I come to you from most recently Jackson, Mississippi. I was told that the temperatures in Colombia would never exceed 80 degrees. And that's part of the reason why I said yes. The topic that has been chosen for me today is part of a series that will run for a couple of months on the topic of fear. And we begin this week and next week with the fear of God. You'll see the title for today's address is When Fear Can Be Good for You. And we have a text from Psalm 112. I'm going to read the psalm, although I'm only going to allude briefly to the other verses of the psalm. But allow me to read. It's a short psalm of 10 verses. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice, for the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Well, it's the opening verse that we want to focus on. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Now let's get something out of the way quickly. Is it right to be afraid of God? Is it ever right to be afraid of God? And that's an interesting question. Is it ever right to be afraid of God? Is there a context in which one ought to be afraid of God? I think the answer that I would give, and it's not my answer, it's the answer of a now deceased systematician and theologian, that it is the height of folly not to be afraid of God when there is every reason to be afraid. For example, if we are not Christians, if we're not trusting in Jesus only for our salvation, we have every cause to be afraid of God. There are several things that militate against the idea of the fear of God. You know, there was a time, I guess, two generations ago now, there was a time when Christians would customarily be referred to as God-fearing men or God-fearing women. One doesn't hear that so much today. Whatever happened to the notion of the fear of God? Well, I think all kinds of things mitigate and militate against the idea of the fear of God. One is we live in a postmodern world. In a postmodern world, there is no concept of ultimate truth and ultimate reality. Why should I be in awe or in fear of something that is only true for me and not necessarily true for you? And in that society, people have all kinds of notions as to who or what God is. For most people today, God, if he exists, is a cosmic Santa Claus figure. Benign, a little doting, loves children, always forgives, likes to give presents every now and then, and is just a little bit odd and mysterious. That's the modern concept of God. Why should you be in fear of that God? You know, I suppose one of the reasons that militates against the idea of the fear of God is our dislike of negativity. You know, we want to be positive. And the very notion of fear or the fear of God brings with it negative connotations. It evokes judgment. It evokes retribution. And let's be honest, it evokes the notion of hell. When did you last hear a sermon on hell? Well, let me cite something Jesus said. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, that's not Jonathan Edwards. That's not John Calvin. That's Jesus. You know, the idea of the fear of God has almost evaporated because our notion and understanding of God has almost evaporated. So what we need to do is to come back to a biblical idea of who God is. Now, let's be absolutely clear. If we are Christians, if we trust in Jesus only for our salvation, we have no need to be afraid of God. All that fear has been taken away. It has been taken away in the cross. I need fear no retribution from this God. He loved me from all eternity, and he will never let me go. So, the Bible not only talks about the fear of God in the sense of being afraid, but it also talks of the fear of God in the sense of reverencing God. In the old-fashioned, yes, Columbian sense, that children called their parents ma'am and sir. Not because they feared, although there were times when they did, but out of a sense of respect and awe. And this idea of the fear of God is closely associated with the idea of having God so great, so magnificent, that we are in awe of him. Let me explore this a little. You notice the text says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Blessed is the man or woman who fears the Lord. Why is it a blessed thing to reverence God, to hold him in awe? And let me suggest three answers. First, because knowing this kind of fear meets our quest for transcendence. Now, let me explain what I mean. There's more to life than you can see. There's more to life than you can touch. There's more to life than you can feel with your hands and fingers. I'm talking about the quest for reality. That reality cannot be confined to a test tube. It can't be confined to the other end of a telescope. There is something more. Theodore Roszak, who's not a Christian, writes in Where the Wasteland Ends. This is what he says. We are suffering today from a psychic claustrophobia within the scientific worldview in which the human spirit cannot breathe. You see, if all that there is atoms and molecules and chemical reactions, the spirit cannot breathe. There's a reductionist spirit abroad today that says man is nothing but chemicals. He's nothing but atoms. He's nothing but the product of his genes. There's no sense of mystery, of transcendence, of greatness. What Roszak is echoing, of course, though he perhaps didn't know it, was what Jesus said when he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Tasty as that lunch no doubt was. We are spiritual beings. We need transcendence because we were created by a transcendent God in order that we might fellowship with him and worship him. You know, you sometimes catch that, don't you? When you look at a painting by one of the great masters, Rubens, Rembrandt, even Picasso, or a great piece of music, or an extraordinary piece of literature, you catch your breath and you say, there's something more than just paint on canvas or words on a page or notes. There's something more. There's something that transcends it. What do you do when you want transcendence but you can't find it? What does the world do when it wants transcendence but it can't find it? It turns to drugs or sex or yoga or Buddhism or pantheism or worshipping trees. What does the world do when it wants transcendence and it can't find it? It makes gods of its own. That's what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1, that the natural man is an idol factory. He is perpetually making idols because he must, yes, man must worship something, either himself or a god that he makes for himself. He turns the true God into an idol. And the psalmist says, when you really know God, you really know the transcendent God, the God who is the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable one, and in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. It's a blessed thing to fear him, to be in awe of him, to know him, and yet not to know him, because he is greater than we can ever imagine. So, first, it's a blessed thing to fear God, because it meets our quest for transcendence. Secondly, it's a blessed thing because it meets our quest for meaning, for a sense of purpose. Now, you don't have a Bible, so you're going to have to take my word from it. I know you don't know me. How can you trust me? But try. I'm just going to tell you that this psalm goes on to speak about family and home and work, employment. And in those areas, the psalmist is saying, when you fear God, when you know who the true God is and you worship Him, you hold Him in awe and reverence, everything else falls into place. Where will you find satisfaction? Where will you find joy? Ultimately, of course, in God Himself. But the person who truly knows God also knows where to find happiness and satisfaction and meaning and purpose. You see, fearing God helps you to understand what's true, what's genuine, what's lasting, what's good. Some people try to find that in money. In 2005, the investment bank Credit Suisse promoted loans to resorts, offered instant personal proceeds to borrowers and high yields to institutional investors. So the founder and largest shareholder of the Yellowstone Club, a private ski resort in Montana, took a loan for $375 million. $209 million went straight into his personal account. Credit Suisse did little, apparently, to appraise the borrower's ability to repay. And all the potential problems were packaged in such a way so that they would be transferred to institutional investors. Well, you know what happened. Six such deals were made by Swiss Credit, totaling $3 billion. Well, in 2007, Yellowstone fell into trouble. The recession hit. Real estate values declined. And they filed for bankruptcy. Swiss Credit, of course, went after the investors, not the borrower. And the bankruptcy judge blamed Swiss Credit and the Yellowstone club owner for what he called naked greed. A journalist writing an account in the newspaper said it was the economic zeitgeist of our age. Where can you find true meaning and value and happiness and contentment? Well, in our age, in the last decade or two, it has been in money. And it has not lived up to its expectations. You know, when you fear God, you find where true value lies. In being what we were made to be. In being God's image bearers, restored by Christ, so that we can find fulfillment in marriage, in family life, in productive and responsible work in the marketplace. Look at what the text says. Blessed is the man. blessed in the Hebrew sense. Blessed in the sense of finding true fulfillment and true integration. Notice what he goes on to say. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. You know, when you fear God, you understand what the purpose of his word is for. You delight in his commandments. You delight in his word. You delight in the things that he says. Because knowing this God, you trust what he says. Left to itself, life would be empty and meaningless. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is trying to tell us. That life under the sun, that is life without God, life with just the things of this world, is meaningless. It is vanity. It doesn't fulfill. Only when you fear God does fulfillment come. You come to appreciate that God is a God to be worshipped and a God to be loved. Well, I said there were three things. Knowing the fear of God fulfills and meets our quest for transcendence. Knowing the fear of God fulfills our quest for meaning. Knowing the fear of God fulfills our quest for security. The psalm says, he is not afraid of bad news. We live in a fallen world. The telephone rings. It's your doctor, your physician, and he has bad news. You awake from the depths of sleep at 2:30 in the morning and somebody is knocking the door. And you know instinctively, before you've got out of bed, you know instinctively, this cannot be good news. This has to be bad news. But you see, the psalmist is saying, well, let me say what he's not saying. He's not saying that if you trust the Lord, if you trust in Jesus, you won't get bad news. That's not what he's saying. You don't fear bad news. Bad news may come to you. But you know that there is one who is altogether sovereign. There's one so great, so vast, so big, that he holds the whole universe together. In fact, when you come to know this God, when you put your trust in Jesus, you come to understand that everything, all things work together for the good of those that love him. The good things and the bad things. Now, the psalm isn't saying you'll understand why the bad things happen. Most of the time, we have no idea why these things happen. Things happen to us that we don't want, and we want certain things to happen that don't happen. There is trouble. There is bad news. But he is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. This transcendent God, this God who created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that it contains, sent his Son. He sent Jesus into this world. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. By trusting in Jesus, we found fulfillment. We've come to see what the reason for our existence is, to worship him, to live for his glory. We've come to know a blessedness, a peace that passes all understanding. This fear of God, this holding God in awe and reverence, this proclamation of the majesty and greatness of God fulfills my quest for security. Because in Jesus, I'm perfectly safe. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Not cancer, not bereavement, not disappointment, or divorce, or any of the 1,001 things that come flooding into our mind when we think of bad news. I'm not afraid of bad news. Because I'm in union and communion with Jesus. He is beyond our comprehension in his greatness and magnificence. You remember how C.S. Lewis put it in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, when Lucy is quizzing Mr. Beaver about Aslan and asking Mr. Beaver, is Aslan safe? And he replied, you remember, who said anything about being safe? Of course he's not safe. But he's good, I tell you. He's the king, I tell you. He is transcendent. He is the mighty God. And he's good to all who put their trust in him. So this is what the psalmist says. Blessed is the man or woman who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. What a great thing. What an extraordinarily great thing it is to know Jesus. And to be able to say in this hostile, fallen, corrupt world, I have no need to be afraid of bad news because I fear the Lord. You know, when I fear God, what else is there to fear? When I know that God is on my side, what have I to fear? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the scriptures and thank you for this psalm. And we thank you for the grace of the gospel that brought us out of darkness and into light and to see in Jesus the fulfillment of all of our needs and desires and the one who can undo what sin has done through his atoning blood and sacrifice. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ. The solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Pray now for this word, that it might dwell in our hearts this day and help us to live out and out for you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.